And get those car care questions ready for ASC's certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, not far from here, here being the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Nick, good morning, and welcome to the fair.
Well, thanks for having us, Denny.
Yeah, as usual. It's been, you and I were kind of reminiscing about when you were this young kid that came here several years ago. We were operating out of the studio here. That was a few years back.
It was, and I was very nervous.
You were, weren't you? Yeah.
I was sweating.
Yeah. How things have changed. Well, for those new to the show, thanks for checking us out every Saturday morning. Thanks to Nick taking the time to answer questions. If you need some help, if you're bringing your car, truck, van in for service because something is ailing but you don't know what it is, and you might want to know what might be wrong with it before you bring it, it's always good to have more information rather than less. Call Nick today. You can call him or text him. If you're here at the fair, you can step up and ask a question right here on our CCO radio veranda or porch. But in the meantime, 651-989, you know, the usual number, you know, the text number. Or if you'd rather call, it's the same number applies. Nick, we're already getting some text messages here at the fair. But I wanted to ask you, and I think we probably do this every year, here it is. You kind of, even though it's warm today and will be, it's kind of got that fall feel to it. I was at Lloyd's yesterday. I missed seeing you, but I had oil and filter changed on my wife's vehicle. And it's kind of that time of year to maybe get our vehicles ready for the, hey, it's winter's going to happen.
Absolutely. Winter's on its way, a ways out. But we also have all our young ones headed back to college. So it's a good idea to have that car checked over and serviced before you head them across the state or across the country.
When people come in and say, I mean, what is a tune-up these days anyway? It's not like the old days.
No, it's not like the old days. You know, things aren't adjustable like they were. But, you know, people come in and say, you know, I want to get it ready for service for the fall, or I have my kid off to school until Thanksgiving, and I won't see the car for a few months. So, you know, we try to make sure, you know, the tires, the brakes, the regular service, the battery, some of those things that can be a nuisance, especially if you have a loved one across the country and you can't be there to help them.
You know, once in a while, as you know, we'll get folks that are do-it-yourselfers. You know, not many of us, including me, can operate on cars these days. It's unbelievable. But what levels of education are there? And there are some good schools. We have some great trade schools, don't we?
Here? Oh, absolutely. And they're filling up again, too. You know, there was a few years back we were real nervous that there wasn't enough young folks getting into the industry, but I think that's changed, and I think people's outlook has changed, and you can make a real good living and good benefits, and you know, you get a little more life-work balance in the world now, and the cars are not as greasy as they used to be. You know, it used to be a grease monkey, and I think that's changed a lot. There's a lot more computerized items in there, and it's a lot more technical, so you gotta go to school to make sure you have that technical background to help you through some of those more complicated problems.
Now, you and your crew there at Lloyd's, you guys are all, can I call them master technicians? Is that true?
Yeah, the ASC test, as you often refer to, there's different disciplines and different tests that you take, ranging from electronics to steering, suspension, brakes, engine performance, transmissions. And if you pass all eight of those disciplines, you get the badge that you're a master technician, and we strive to have all of our guys there. They all are our young guys that have been on board for a couple years. You need some time in service to be able to do that and pass all those tests, so it's something that we take seriously and work hard towards, you know, keeping everybody up there.
How often do you have to take this test?
Every 5 years, and I'm
5 years.
I'm due, a little nervous.
So you too, you'll still do it.
Yeah, there was a standard that Dan had made. You know, he his might still be active, but we, like I said, it's an afternoon. You take some tests every 5 years. It keeps your mind in the game, which kind of helps you critically think when you come across a tough car.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to be here and until 7:45. Well, I'll be here a little bit later, longer than that. But Nick is going to be taking his leave, as usual, around 7:45 when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So keep that in mind. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us right now, 651-461-9226, because our time goes by so quickly, as Nick knows. And who did you bring with you today?
I have my youngest child, Silas, with me this morning. I was going to either call in or come in, and I said, what do you want to do, buddy? And he goes, well, let's go to the fair. So here we are.
Well, you got a good day for it, that's for sure. and lots to eat and drink here.
Yeah. What do you want to do, buddy? And he goes, well, let's go to the fair. So here we are.
Well, you got a good day for it, that's for sure. And lots to eat and drink here, as you know. All right. Tell you what, let's do this. I'm getting a signal. We need to take a bit of a break here. Call us or text us on our Car Care Show from News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. It's another Saturday in CCO land. This time we're at the Minnesota State Fair. We're in the midst of our Car Care Show with Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive, not too far from here on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, for those that maybe need a little help, maybe after leaving the fair, of course, I know you're not open today.
But yeah, we won't be there today, but we'll be back Monday. If you ever need any advice or have a question answered before you take your car in, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And as you mentioned, we're on Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And as always, do check out their website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that information when Nick takes his leave about 7:45 or so this morning. Let's grab a phone call. Bill is calling in, I do believe, from Minneapolis this morning. Thank you, Bill. What's your question for Nick?
I had a question about procedure on an oil change. I recently went to one of the local, quick oil change places that I been going to for a while. I got there a little before they opened. It seemed like there was only one person working there, and a lot of times, you could tell there was somebody down in the pit working underneath the car. But when there's only one person there, I noticed that he just took a hose and stuck it into where you fill the oil and pump the oil out that way. And I'm just wondering if that's standard procedure. It seems like without just opening the oil pan, isn't that leaving any sludge or sediment or anything in the bottom of the pan?
Well, Bill, let's see. Now, what do you think? Have you ever seen such a thing?
There are systems out there that can evacuate or vacuum the oil out, as you're describing. I would agree with you. I think it's best to pull the drain plug from the bottom of the engine. So therefore, all that, any sediment or anything that's settled at the bottom of the pan will make its way out as you drain the oil. Not saying that procedure is, you're still replacing the oil, you're still getting a new filter, so you're still getting the service, but it is possible that there's some of that stuff at the base of the oil pan that's not being removed.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the call. Again, 651-461-9226. You want a phone call or a text for Nick before he takes his leave at 7:45. Texter says this, Nick. Good morning. Does gas evaporate in the tank if a vehicle sits for a week or more not being used? Love the show. Well, thanks for that. But what do you think?
Well, gas does evaporate. However, we have emission systems and fuel vapor systems on vehicles and all that prevent that from escaping. So what happens is, as it, the heating, the cooling, condensation, there's a canister that will absorb, hold those vapors, and then we have a purge cycle that will turn that valve on when the vehicle's running, and then the vehicle actually, the engine's vacuum will consume those vapors. So we're not emitting that in the atmosphere. It's kind of containing everything. If you go back long enough and you go into your garage, you would have that fuel smell, and we don't have that because those systems contain those vapors. If you do smell fuel around your car, there's likely something wrong with that, and you should have that looked at.
All right, very good. Another text says this. I recently paid, $550 for new plugs, not wires, for my Silverado. How come so much?
The cost of parts have gone up. The material that the spark plugs are made out of has evolved over the years. They now go 100,000 miles. If you remember, it used to be 20,000, 30,000 miles, and you had to regap them, and there's a lot more process or procedure. So they do cost more, but they last three or four times as long, the cost of labor and such, as time goes by. But it is more expensive, but it does last longer, and they do run better. The plugs of cars today run a lot cleaner, they're a lot more efficient, the emissions are less, the fuel economy is better. So it is costly, but I think it is worth the trade-off.
Very good. Again, our number, our phone number is also our text number. That's 651-461-9226. Let's grab another phone call, Nick. Dave is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Davis, good morning. What is your question, please?
Hey, good morning, Denny and Nick. Appreciate the show. Nick, we have a 2011 GMC Acadia. We're kind of hanging on to it. Air conditioning went out. Help us understand what the procedure is to test air conditioning and that whole process if we bring it into you. Thank you.
So the first thing we want to determine is if it's low in refrigerant. So typically evacuate the system, see the quantity that you pull out, put it on a vacuum to try to look for a leak that may or may not work. If it was low in refrigerant, we're going to recharge it to the proper amount, put some dye with that refrigerant. So the event that the leak is active, that dye will kind of give us one of those glowing signs that here's where the leak is. And once it's full, if it's operating fine, we might have you take it and drive it for a period of time, bring it back to reinspect. That's the most common. Most common we'll see a low refrigerant situation. There can be other possibilities, though. There can be a compressor that's not turning on, meaning it's not pumping, so it's not creating the pressures to have the air conditioning to work. There's fans and blowers involved, too. So there can be a variety of directions we would go, but the first thing we're going to do is figure out if it's low in refrigerant.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the call. Texter asked this question, Nick. In the old days, wheel bearings would get repacked. Today, the entire wheel bearing part has to be replaced. Now, is this really best, or is it a way for all the players in the automotive business to make more money?
You're correct. We used to repack wheel bearings, but kind of along with the line with spark plugs, you'd have to repack them every year or two, where a wheel bearing on a vehicle will last the life of a vehicle in many situations, and that can be a couple hundred thousand miles. So the old technology would not have lasted 200,000 to 300,000 miles. Now, we have potholes and curbs and things that we might bump into that can damage those bearings and make them prematurely wear out. But I would say that as they've evolved, they've become much better and more reliable.
All right, very good. Let's take another phone call this morning. George is checking in, I believe, not far from here in Badness Heights. Thank you, George. What is your question, please?
My question is that have you ever seen on a body control module, a Ford, where you drive down the road and the door ajar keeps flashing or starts to flash at speeds at highway speeds, and a soulless Snap-on reader can't pick it up?
Yes, you can see a lot of those intermittent, something being backfed. So, you know, the body control module is turning the light on. But what's the reasoning for it? What's the input that's causing it? You know, scan tools can take data, and depending on the scan tool, the speed of that data can vary. You know, the other path would be hooking up a lab scope so you can watch the live information. But when you have a small glitch or something being backfed, that can be difficult to pinpoint, you know, especially if it'd be highway speed. So, you know, I wouldn't just start throwing parts at the car, obviously, because that could be wasteful. But I would try to, you know, if it was at our shop, we'd probably maybe kind of go through the common issues, try to test those individual components, not just assume it's the body control module. But ultimately, at some point, we're going to have to make a decision and try something.
Okay, very good. So I tell you what, Nick, before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call. Rick is calling in this morning from Buffalo this morning. Hi, Rick. What is your question, please?
My question is, I've got a 2012 Chevy Suburban with the 5.3 liter engine in it with the engine that drops four cylinders when it's going down the road if it's easy going. Been hearing a lot about the cam lifters going out on those at about 170,000 miles. Is it worth having those lifters replaced before it wrecks the camshaft and causes a whole engine repair, or wait and just buy a new engine for it? It's still in really good shape.
It isn't necessarily going to result in a bad engine, and it may not happen either. So, you know, I don't always want to just do things just because I think sometimes you can create other problems. We do see those lifters failing. If you're obviously it seems you'd be in tune with your vehicle, if you're noticing something changing, you can probably have that repair done without having the whole engine replaced. Typically, we see those significant repairs on people that have been ignoring the problem, and it's been going on for a while, and they've been hearing this noise and been meaning to get in. They just don't get in. After a period of time, what happens is that the lifter will rotate, and it's kind of riding sideways, so it wears down one of the lobes on the cam. So I'm pretty sure in this situation that you would know if something had changed, you could get it in, and they can make the repair without having to do the camshaft.
All right, very good, Nick. Hang on. We'll take a break, have a look at that forecast. It's going to be kind of steamy, and we'll get back to the show. Keep in mind, Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 this morning before Ted Farrell has his wine chat with us. 651-461-9226. That's our phone and text number from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. We are broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. Beautiful morning. Officially in the Twin Cities now, correction, 65 is what the folks say, at least at the airport, or as Mike Lynch would say, where nobody lives. 65 degrees is our current temp. However, we're going to get up to about 85 today, maybe 91 tomorrow, maybe 94 Monday. We're back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We've got texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out. I know you're going to be taking your leave here shortly. And we talk about this from time to time. I would like your thoughts on aftermarket car warranties. Are some better than others?
They absolutely are. You have to read the fine print. I know we've covered that before where, you know, obviously the salesperson will tell you how it's going to extend the manufacturer warranty and everything's going to be just fine. But you really need to have somebody carefully read the fine print, because that's not always the case. And oftentimes we see the car at number, you know, years 5, 6, 7, and they're in for a repair with the notion that it's going to be covered, and then come to find out that maybe it's not sold, that's, you know, or they didn't buy the package that they thought they were buying. So I would be, I think they can be good, and we deal with them all the time, and some are very good, and it seems to kind of vary. There's not one particular brand I would say, oh, this is the one. But just be very careful, read the fine print.
And it costs money, but some people sleep better at night, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's insurance, right? I mean,
exactly. It's a good point.
It's not a bad thing always, but you just have to be very careful.
Texter says this, 2003 Subaru Forester 2.5 four-cylinder, auto transmission and all-wheel drive, 228,000 miles on it. The question is, would it be beneficial to change out certain engine management sensors to get better performance, even though the motor performance is pretty good now?
You know, kind of with the earlier texter, I wouldn't do anything just because unfortunately sometimes we can create a new problem. So if one of those sensors was not working or reading properly, we would have indications, we'd have warnings, we'd have code. So if everything's working fine, operating fine, just keep maintaining it, follow your schedule, and you should be fine.
Okay. Here is a 2015 Ford Explorer. The headlights are not working. The taillights work, and the fog lights work. Do you think it's a fuse, or how do you find out?
They are probably fused separately, so if they're both not working, you can maybe eliminate that. I would probably lean more towards the switch itself. You know, if something within that headlight switch isn't sending the signal to turn those lights on. You know, we print out the wiring diagram, as we've covered many times before, and you kind of start at the fuse and find all the easy points that are easy to gain access to and check for power and ground. And by doing that, you can kind of start to take that circuit and break it down and get closer to pinpoint where the problem lies.
Very good. I think we have time for one, maybe two more. This one is a 2019 Traverse. It recommends changing the spark plugs, another spark plug question, at 100,000 miles. Do you think this is necessary if everything seems to be running great as it is?
Like I said before, I wouldn't do things just to do them. However, spark plugs are a wearing item. That iridium or platinum tip kind of has a 100,000-mile about life, and as that tip starts to wear away, it creates more stress on coils and other parts of the engine management. So they should be redone at that interval as is recommended.
Finally, and this is it, and then I think you're going to take off for the fairgrounds. What happens if I add a little more oil than recommended to my vehicle? It didn't say what kind of a car. What can happen?
If it's overfilled, it can be as bad as being underfilled. So, you know, on the dipstick, you know, if your car still has one.
Yes.
There'll be hash marks, like a full and a low. And you want to keep it, you know, near the upper part of the, towards the full. You don't want to overfill it. When you say a little bit, you know, a couple ounces isn't going to hurt. But if you're like a quart over, you probably need to remove that to get back within the right spec.
All right. I know you're heading off with your boy, but how do we find you guys at Lloyd's if we need some help?
Yeah, you know, during the work week, if you have a question, you can call 651 651- 228-1316. And if you're leaving the fair, you head right down Snelling to Grand, hang on left, and you make it to Chatsworth or right on the corner.
You're right there.
And then finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Thanks for stopping by the fair.
And, thanks for having me.
We'll see you out there at Lloyd's next time. Another oil change or whatever I need. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi, our turf guru, will be here on our WCCO veranda answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour right after Ted Farrell. Here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And get those car care questions ready for ASC's certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, not far from here, here being the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Nick, good morning, and welcome to the fair.
Well, thanks for having us, Denny.
Yeah, as usual. It's been, you and I were kind of reminiscing about when you were this young kid that came here several years ago. We were operating out of the studio here. That was a few years back.
It was, and I was very nervous.
You were, weren't you? Yeah.
I was sweating.
Yeah. How things have changed. Well, for those new to the show, thanks for checking us out every Saturday morning. Thanks to Nick taking the time to answer questions. If you need some help, if you're bringing your car, truck, van in for service because something is ailing but you don't know what it is and you might want to know what might be wrong with it before you bring it, it's always good to have more information rather than less. Call Nick today. You can call him or text him. If you're here at the fair, you can step up and ask a question right here on our CCO radio veranda or porch. But in the meantime, 651-989, you know, the usual number, you know, the text number. Or if you'd rather call, it's the same number applies. Nick, we're already getting some text messages here at the fair. But I wanted to ask you, and I think we probably do this every year, here it is. You kind of, even though it's warm today and will be, it's kind of got that fall feel to it. I was at Lloyd's yesterday. I missed seeing you, but I had oil and filter change on my wife's vehicle. And it's kind of that time of year to maybe get our vehicles ready for the, hey, it's winter's going to happen.
Absolutely, winter's on its way, a ways out. But we also have all our young ones headed back to college, so it's a good idea to have that car checked over and serviced before you head them across the state or across the country.
When people come in and say, I mean, what is a tune-up these days anyway? It's not like the old days.
No, it's not like the old days. You know, things aren't adjustable like they were. But, you know, people come in and say, you know, I want to get it ready for service for the fall, or I have my kid off to school until Thanksgiving, and I won't see the car for a few months. So, you know, we try to make sure, you know, the tires, the brakes, the regular service, the battery, some of those things that can be a nuisance, especially if you have a loved one across the country and you can't be there to help them.
You know, once in a while, as you know, we'll get folks that are do-it-yourselfers. You know, not many of us, including me, can operate on cars these days. It's unbelievable. But what levels of education are there? And there are some good schools. We have some great trade schools, don't we? Here?
Oh, absolutely. And they're filling up again too. You know, there was a few years back we were real nervous that there wasn't enough young folks getting into the industry, but I think that's changed, and I think people's outlook has changed, and you can make a real good living and good benefits, and you know, you get a little more life-work balance in the world now, and the cars are not as greasy as they used to be. You know, it used to be a grease monkey, and I think that's changed a lot. There's a lot more computerized items in there, and it's a lot more technical, so you gotta go to school to make sure you have that technical background help you through some of those more complicated problems.
Now, you and your crew there, Lloyd's, you guys are all, can I call them master technicians? Is that true?
Yeah, the ASC test, as you often refer to, there's different disciplines and different tests that you take, ranging from electronics to steering, suspension, brakes, engine performance, transmissions. And if you pass all eight of those disciplines, you get the badge that you're a master technician. And we strive to have all of our guys there. They all are. Our young guys that have been on board for a couple years, you need some time in service to be able to do that and pass all those tests. So it's something that we take seriously and work hard towards, you know, keeping everybody up there.
How often do you have to take this test?
Every 5 years. And
5 years.
I'm due. A little nervous.
So you too, you'll still do it.
Yeah, there was a standard that Dan had made. You know, his might still be active, but we Like I said, it's an afternoon. You take some tests every 5 years. It keeps your mind in the game, which kind of helps you critically think when you come across a tough car.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're going to be here and until 7:45. Well, I'll be here a little bit later, longer than that. But Nick is going to be taking his leave, as usual, around 7:45 when Ted Farrell steps in with his wine chat. So keep that in mind. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us right now, 651-461-9226, because our time goes by so quickly, as Nick knows. And who did you bring with you today?
I have my youngest child, Silas, with me this morning. I was going to either call in or come in, and I said, what do you want to do, buddy? And he goes, well, let's go to the fair. So here we are.
Well, you got a good day for it, that's for sure. And lots to eat and drink here.
Yeah. What do you want to do, buddy? And he goes, well, let's go to the fair. So here we are.
Well, you got a good day for it, that's for sure. And lots to eat and drink here, as you know. All right. Tell you what, let's do this. I'm getting a signal. We need to take a bit of a break here. Call us or text us on our Car Care Show from News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. It's another Saturday in CCO land. This time we're at the Minnesota State Fair. We're in the midst of our Car Care Show with Nick Stoffel, who runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive, not too far from here on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, for those that maybe need a little help, maybe after leaving the fair, of course, I know you're not open today.
Yeah, we won't be there today, but we'll be back Monday. If you ever need any advice or have a question answered before you take your car in, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And as you mentioned, we're on Grand and Chatsworth in St. Paul. That's 982 Grand. And as always, do check out their website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that information when Nick takes his leave, about 7:45 or so this morning. Let's grab a phone call. Bill is calling in, I do believe, from Minneapolis this morning. Thank you, Bill. What's your question for Nick?
I had a question about the procedure on an oil change. I recently went to one of the local, quick oil change places that I been going to for a while. I got there a little before they opened. It seemed like there was only one person working there, and a lot of times, you could tell there was somebody down in the pit working underneath the car. But when there's only one person there, I noticed that he just took a hose and stuck it into where you fill the oil and pump the oil out that way. And I'm just wondering if that's standard procedure. It seems like without just opening the oil pan, isn't that leaving any sludge or sediment or anything in the bottom of the pan?
Well, Bill, let's see. Now, what do you think? Have you ever seen such a thing?
There are there are systems out there that can evacuate or vacuum the oil out, as you're describing. I would agree with you. I think it's best to pull the drain plug from the bottom of the engine. So therefore, all that, any sediment or anything that's settled at the bottom of the pan will make its way out as you drain the oil. I'm not saying that procedure is, you're still replacing the oil, you're still getting a new filter, so you're still getting the service, but it is possible that there's some of that stuff at the base of the oil pan that's not being removed.
All right. Very good. Thanks for the call. Again, 651-461-9226. You want a phone call or a text for Nick before he takes his leave at 7:45. Texter says this, Nick. Good morning. Does gas evaporate in the tank if a vehicle sits for a week or more not being used? Love the show. Well, thanks for that. But what do you think?
Well, gas does evaporate. However, we have emission systems and fuel vapor systems on vehicles and all that prevent that from escaping. So what happens is, as it, the heating, the cooling, condensation, there's a canister that will absorb, hold those vapors, and then we have a purge cycle that will turn that valve on when the vehicle's running, and then the vehicle actually, the engine, the vacuum will consume those vapors. So we're not emitting that in the atmosphere. It's kind of containing everything. If you go back long enough and you go into your garage, you would have that fuel smell, and we don't have that because those systems contain those vapors. If you do smell fuel around your car, there's likely something wrong with that, and you should have that looked at.
All right, very good. Another text says this. I recently paid, $550 for new plugs, not wires, for my Silverado. How come so much?
The cost of parts have gone up. The material that the spark plugs are made out of has evolved over the years. You know, they now go 100,000 miles. If you remember, you know, it used to be 20,000, 30,000 miles, and you had to recap them, and there's a lot more process or procedure. So they do cost more, but they last three or four times as long, you know, the cost of labor and such, you know, as time goes by. But it is more expensive, but it does last longer, and they do run better. They, you know, the plugs of cars today run a lot cleaner, they're a lot more efficient, the emissions are less, the fuel economy is better. So it is costly, but I think it is worth the trade-off.
Very good. Again, our number, our phone number is also our text number. That's 651-461-9226. Let's grab another phone call, Nick. Dave is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Davis, good morning. What is your question, please?
Hey, good morning, Danny and Nick. Appreciate the show. Nick, we have a 2011 GMC Acadia. We're kind of hanging on to it. Air conditioning went out. Help us understand what the procedure is to test the air conditioning and that whole process if we bring it in to you. Thank you.
So the first thing we want to determine is if it's low in refrigerant. So typically you evacuate the system, see the quantity that you pull out, put it on a vacuum to try to look for a leak that may or may not work. If it was low on refrigerant, we're going to recharge it to the proper amount, put some dye with that refrigerant. So the event that the leak is active, that dye will kind of give us one of those glowing signs that here's where the leak is. And once it's full, if it's operating fine, we might have you take it and drive it for a period of time, bring it back to reinspect. That's the most common. Most common we'll see a low refrigerant situation. There can be other possibilities, though. There can be a compressor that's not turning on, meaning it's not pumping, so it's not creating the pressures to have the air conditioning to work. There's fans and blowers involved, too. So there can be a variety of directions we would go, but the first thing we're going to do is figure out if it's low in refrigerant.
Okay. Very good. Thanks for the call. Texter asked this question, Nick. In the old days, wheel bearings would get repacked. Today, the entire wheel bearing part has to be replaced. Now, is this really best, or is it a way for all the players in the automotive business to make more money?
You're correct. We used to repack wheel bearings, but kind of along with the line with spark plugs, you'd have to repack them every year or two, where a wheel bearing on a vehicle will last the life of a vehicle in many situations, and that can be a couple hundred thousand miles. So the old technology would not have lasted 200,000 to 300,000 miles. Now, you do, you know, we have potholes and curbs and things that we might bump into that can damage those bearings and make them prematurely wear out. But I would say that as they've evolved, they've become much better and more reliable.
All right, very good. Let's take another phone call this morning. George is checking in, I believe, not far from here in Vadnais Heights. Thank you, George. What is your question, please?
My question is that have you ever seen on a body control module a Ford where you drive down the road and the door ajar keeps flashing or starts to flash at speeds, at highway speeds, and Solus Snap-on reader can't pick it up?
Yes, you can see a lot of those intermittent, something being backfed. So, you know, the body control module is turning the light on, but what's the reasoning for it? What's the input that's causing it? You know, scan tools can take data, and depending on the scan tool, the speed of that data can vary. You know, the other path would be hooking up a lab scope so you can watch the live information. But when you have a small glitch or something being backfed, that can be difficult to pinpoint, you know, especially if it be highway speed. So, you know, I wouldn't just start throwing parts at the car, obviously, because that could be wasteful. But I would try to, you know, if it was at our shop, we'd probably maybe kind of go through the common issues, try to test those individual components, not just assume it's the body control module, but ultimately at some point we're going to have to make a decision and try something.
Okay, very good. So I tell you what, Nick, before we break for weather, let's grab another phone call. Rick is calling in this morning from Buffalo this morning. Hi, Rick, what is your question, please?
My question is, I've got a 2012 Chevy Suburban with the 5.3 liter engine in it. With the engine that drops four cylinders when it's going down the road, if it's easy going. Been hearing a lot about the cam lifters going out on those at about 170,000 miles. Is it worth having those lifters replaced before it wrecks the camshaft and causes a whole engine repair? or wait and just buy a new engine for it. It's still in really good shape.
It isn't necessarily going to result in a bad engine, and it may not happen either. So, you know, I don't always want to just do things just because I think sometimes you can create other problems. We do see those lifters failing. If you're obviously, it seems you'd be in tune with your vehicle. If you're noticing something changing, you can probably have that repair done without having the whole engine replaced. Typically, we see those significant repairs on people that have been ignoring the problem, and it's been going on for a while, and they've been hearing this noise and been meaning to get in. They just don't get in. After a period of time, what happens is that the lifter will rotate, and it's kind of riding sideways, so it wears down one of the lobes on the cam. So I'm pretty sure in this situation that you would know if something had changed, you could get it in, and they can make the repair without having to do the camshaft.
All right, very good, Nick. Hang on. We'll take a break, have a look at that forecast. It's going to be kind of steamy, and we'll get back to the show. Keep in mind, Nick will be taking his leave about 7:45 this morning before Ted Farrell has his wine chat with us. 651-461-9226. That's our phone and text number from News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. We are broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair. Beautiful morning. Officially in the Twin Cities now, correction, 65 is what the folks say, at least at the airport, or as Mike Lynch would say, where nobody lives. 65 degrees is our current temp. However, we're going to get up to about 85 today, maybe 91 tomorrow, maybe 94 Monday. We're back to the remaining minutes of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We've got texters. Let's see how many folks we're going to help out. I know you're going to be taking your leave here shortly. And we talk about this from time to time. I would like your thoughts on aftermarket car warranties. Are some better than others?
They absolutely are. You have to read the fine print. And we've covered that before where, you know, obviously the salesperson will tell you how it's going to extend the manufacturer warranty and everything's going to be just fine. But you really need to have somebody carefully read the fine print, because that's not always the case. And oftentimes we see the car at number, you know, years 5, 6, 7, and they're in for a repair with the notion that it's going to be covered, and then come to find out that maybe it's not sold. That's, you know, or they didn't buy the package that they thought they were buying. So I would be, I think they can be good, and we deal with them all the time. And some are very good, and it seems to kind of vary. There's not one particular brand I would say, oh, this is the one. But just be very careful, read the fine print.
And it costs money, but some people sleep better at night, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's insurance, right? I mean,
exactly. You know, it's a good point.
It's not a bad thing always, but you just have to be very careful.
Texter says this, 2003 Subaru Forester 2.5 four-cylinder, auto transmission and all-wheel drive, 228,000 miles on it. The question is, would it be beneficial to change out certain engine management sensors to get better performance, even though the motor performance is pretty good now?
You know, kind of with the earlier texter, I wouldn't do anything just because unfortunately sometimes we can create a new problem. So if one of those sensors was not working or reading properly, we would have indications, we'd have warnings, we'd have code. So if everything's working fine, operating fine, just keep maintaining it, follow your schedule, and you should be fine.
Okay. Here is a 2015 Ford Explorer. The headlights are not working. The taillights work, and the fog lights work. Do you think it's a fuse, or how do you find out?
They are probably fused separately, so if they're both not working, you can maybe eliminate that. I would probably lean more towards the switch itself. You know, if something within that headlight switch isn't sending the signal to turn those lights on. You know, we print out the wiring diagram, as we've covered many times before, and you kind of start at the fuse and find all the easy points that are easy to gain access to and check for power and ground. And by doing that, you can kind of start to take that circuit and break it down and get closer to pinpoint where the problem lies.
Very good. I think we have time for one, maybe two more. This one is a 2019 Traverse. It recommends changing the spark plugs, another spark plug question, at 100,000 miles. Do you think this is necessary if everything seems to be running great as it is?
Like I said before, I wouldn't do things just to do them. However, spark plugs are a wearing item. That iridium or platinum tip kind of has a 100,000 mile about life. And as that tip starts to wear away, it creates more stress on coils and other parts of the engine management. So they should be redone at that interval as is recommended.
Finally, and this is it, and then I think you're going to take off for the fairgrounds. What happens if I add a little more oil than recommended to my vehicle? It didn't say what kind of a car. What can happen?
If it's overfilled, it can be as bad as being underfilled. So, you know, on the dipstick, you know, if your car still has one.
Yes.
There'll be hash marks, like a full and a low. And you want to keep it, you know, near the upper part of the, towards the full. You don't want to overfill it. When you say a little bit, you know, a couple ounces isn't going to hurt. But if you're like a quart over, you probably need to remove that to get back
to
within the right spec.
All right. I know you're heading off with your boy, but what? How do we find you guys at Lloyd's if we need some help?
Yeah, you know, during the work week, if you have a question, you can call 651-228-1316. And if you're leaving the fair, you head right down Snelling to Grand, hang on left, and you make it to Chatsworth or right on the corner.
You're right there.
And then finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
All right, Nick. Good to see you. Good to hear you. Thanks for stopping by the fair.
Thanks
and
for having me.
We'll see you out there at Lloyd's next time. Another oil change or whatever I need. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi, our turf guru, will be here on our WCCO veranda answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour right after Ted Farrell. Here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.